glad to have some of the Snyder family here with us. Y'all stand up. Oh, and make sure you pay attention to Tim's shirt there, what he's got embroidered on the front of it from a mission trip. He's just had knee surgery 4 weeks ago. That's why he's got the cane. So we praise the Lord. And Tim has been, tell him you've been planting a church.
Linda and I are both commissioned Southern Baptist missionaries, and we're commissioned to plant a church in Arlington, Vermont. We started with a Bible study July of 2010. Easter of 2012, we started with Sunday services. So we just cleared our first anniversary mark of having Sunday services. Everything is going wonderfully. We're truly blessed to see what the Lord is doing in Vermont. For those of you who don't know, when we got there, we first set foot in Vermont in 2007. Vermont was the least churched state in the country. They have now gone to where they're number 47th. So we're making progress.
After y'all's church,
that's right. That's right. We've had 7 or 8 new churches start just last year alone, Southern Baptist churches, in 1 year that opened their doors. The New England region is the only region in the country within the Southern Baptist Convention that is having more churches open their doors and start new churches than close in a year's time. So it's really awesome to see how God's working, how we're making a light in the darkness. There is a lot of work that needs to be done, and we're seeing a lot happening. We're having a lot of new pastors coming up that are planting new churches. There are a lot of people coming to support the churches that are in place. But it's just amazing to see the need. The number of people that exist that have no hope. They have no idea who Jesus Christ is and that salvation exists. They've never heard the gospel. And we're trying to change that.
Amen.
We're trying to see that change in New England and Vermont in particular, our little corner. We're in the southwestern part of the state. And it's just amazing to be in an area where you can run past probably 98 out of 100 people that you would pass on the street do not know the Lord as their Savior. So you have a good chance of running across someone that you can evangelize to that has never heard the gospel. So we're just blessed that the Lord has called us to be a part of that changing force in Vermont. And I hope anybody that decides to look for a little cooler weather that they would come up and visit. We'd love to have people come up. They just had snow 50 miles from our house yesterday. It was 87 last week, and it's supposed to be 89 on Friday, but they had 4 or 5 inches of snow yesterday. So you just blink your eyes and the weather's going to change. But we're hoping that the climate of knowing the Lord as your Lord and Savior changes in that area too, because there's a lot that is being done, but there's a lot that is being done. And we're blessed to see how our church is growing. It's growing wonderfully. So I appreciate the prayers, and I appreciate everything that's happening.
Let's pray. Let's pray for Tim and Linda right now. Lord, we want to thank you for all that you have done in this family, Lord. I remember when we first met them in Georgetown. All that we have seen you do in their lives, we praise you. And now, Lord, you're using them in this mission field. I ask God your anointing, your power, your presence. We thank you for them, Lord. We pray, God, that you'll encourage them. We pray, Lord, that, Lord, not that you'll bless what they're doing, but they'll cooperate with you and do what you're blessing. Lord, thank you for them. Thank you for the blessing they are to our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Tim. God bless you. Today's Tammy's birthday. If you haven't run your hand across her burr head there, you can do that. And also, several of you have family members here that with us today. We welcome you. So glad you're here. with us today. So many of our folks are traveling this weekend and are away. We want to pray for them. John, you can run that now. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. And I thought it would be good for you to hear a few statistics of and Memorial Day is a day in our country that we set aside to honor those who have fallen during the wars that our country has fought, preserving freedom. Think about all the countries in the world today. And where do the countries in the world look today for leadership and freedom in the earth? If you haven't ever downloaded and listened to it, it would be good to go back and listen to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's address to our Congress as he talked about freedom in this country from an outside perspective. As you look at these pictures, I want you to think about those who have fallen in battle. The wars that we have fought. During World War II, over 400,000 of our men and women perished. During World War I, over 53,000. During the Vietnam War, over 47,000. The Korean War, over 37,000. We come right up to today. Those in the Iraq War, 4,487 who died, 31,965 wounded. The war on terror, including Afghanistan, 6,518 deaths, 41,936 wounded. These are a lot of people who have given a lot for you and for me. They paid the ultimate sacrifice. One of those that you saw earlier, one of the earlier slides, was a picture of Josh Byers. Josh was a member of our church, and I want to just read you this about his life. He graduated from West Point, where he did very well. He served on brigade staff in his junior and senior year, graduated in top 25% of his class. His first Army post was Fort Stewart, Georgia, and that's when we got to meet he and his wife. He became a part of our church. His dad and mom were church planters. He had been raised in that. And since he was a young fella, that's all he ever wanted to do was join the military and serve the Lord in that way. Josh finally became a commander and he was company commander of Fox Troop there in Iraq. He loved being a company commander and soon gained the respect of his company, led them on many treacherous missions. On July 23rd, I can't remember the year now, I think it was 2003, he was in a convoy. They were ready to move from Ramadi to Fallujah. And Josh was in the lead vehicle of the convoy about 2 miles out of Ramadi. An IED was detonated and struck the Humvee that he was in along with three other soldiers and his interpreter. As smoke was filling the air, Josh gave his last command to his driver, "Keep moving forward." And this command saved the lives of others. The gunner was seriously injured, but now serves in the Army as a sergeant major. Josh loved his country. He died with valor. He told his family as he left to go to Iraq, he'd be home soon, but if he didn't make it home alive, there's no better way to die than to die in the service of this beloved country. We knew this guy. This is not just another statistic. He was the real deal, and he loved Jesus. These are the type men and women that have given their lives for you and for me and are still doing it. We have so many of you that are connected in your family with the military. And I'll tell you, with my new son-in-law getting ready to be deployed to Afghanistan, gives me a pause for taking a lot more serious in my life. They serve us, and I thank God for them. Would you join me as we have a prayer of thanksgiving and a prayer of protection for those who are deployed all over the earth? Lord, I thank you for all of the men and women that have willingly laid down their lives so that freedom could ring, not just in our country, but all over the world. Lord, I pray today, especially for the families of those living who've lost loved ones in this endeavor called freedom in the earth. I pray, God, for your comfort for them today. Lord, thank you for these men and women. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, they would love people enough to be willing to go in harm's way so that others could be free. Lord, we pray for all of those deployed in the earth right now. There are many, many thousands, Lord, all over the earth. We ask your protection. We ask, God, that you would guard them. Lord, encourage them. Lord, I pray today they could realize how thankful this nation is for them. We bless you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I hope you'll be able to hear me. I haven't got much voice today. But I do have a message for you. I read the code of conduct that was adopted during the administration of Dwight D. Eisenhower in his two terms as president of these United States. And part of that Uniform Military Code of Conduct, that when you join the military in our country, is tantamount to a willingness to lay down your life for this country and for the freedom and what this country represents. So today, as we prayerfully and soberly remember the sacrifice of those that have gone before, we also have great disdain for any who would cheapen the sacrifice of those who have laid down their lives for this country. Who would race to make a point that in some way there's something wrong with them. Today, we dwell in the freedom and enjoy all the freedom of speech that people have because of the sacrifice of these who have gone before. But those who sacrifice for freedom have a good example that has gone before them. I'm going to move through several passages of Scripture, beginning in John chapter 15. Verse 12, it says there, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I have commanded you." Jesus spoke these words as he gave to us the greatest example of sacrifice. On this weekend of the memorial, as we remember those who have gone before and shed their blood for this country, you think about what our country was founded upon. It was not founded upon atheism. It was not founded upon agnosticism. It was not founded on cults. Though all of these enjoy the freedom and have enjoyed the freedom to speak, the freedom to do, the freedom to act, the freedom to congregate in this country. This country was founded upon Judeo-Christian principles, upon this book, the law that comes out of not Western civilization, but the law that comes out of this book. Our whole jurisprudence system, our system of government, the way we look at freedom. And again, I point you to that message. If you have not heard B.B. Netanyahu's message, it is a great one from someone who is outside of this country. Jesus purchased for us our ultimate freedom when he went to the cross. How did he do it? Turn with me to John chapter 3. And we read that story of Nicodemus. Verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you've come from God as a teacher, but no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and he said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time to his mother's womb, be born, can he?' And Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed, I say to you, you must be born again. Wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit.' And Nicodemus said, 'How can these things be?' And Jesus answered and said to him, Are you a teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things? Truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we've seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe me, how will you believe me if I speak about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven, but he who descended from heaven, the Son of God. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Let's stop there. You go back and look at that story of the serpent being lifted up in the wilderness. It's in Numbers 21. You can read it later. The people, they were coming. They had been 38 years wandering. 40 years total they would wander in the wilderness because of their disobedience. God was not letting them go into the promised land. They're whining and complaining. Their disdain for the Lord. They were not appreciating God's blessings to them. So the protection that God had provided all those years from the serpents of the land, he dropped that protection. There came snake bites. The people were being bitten by these snakes. Then the people come running to Moses and said, what can we do? What can we do? There was this rash of snake bite. And Moses interceded for them. He went before the Lord. You know that symbol, the medical symbol that has the for healing, the serpent wrapped on the pole there? That's the picture. That's where it comes from. The Lord instructed him. He said, you do this brazen serpent, you put it up on a pole, and then all the people that are bitten by snakes can look at that brazen serpent. Put it up high enough so that wherever they are in the camp, they can look and they'll see and they'll be healed. They'll be healed. Well, here John is quoting Jesus here. As Jesus is giving this teaching to Nicodemus, this fellow who had been, he was a Pharisee, he was a member of the Sanhedrin, he was a guy, he should have known all this stuff, he should have known all, but yet he's like a little child as Jesus is sharing the good news with him. And he gives this picture of what his experience is going to be on the cross. Because in just a couple of years, this will be fulfilled. Because it will not be a serpent on a pole. It will be the Son of God hanging, suspended between heaven and earth. And anybody that looks unto him and puts their faith and their trust in him, that death sentence, the bite of death that has come to them, will be negated and they will have life. The picture in the Old Testament was fulfilled in Jesus. That's why he would go on to say then, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his unique, one and only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. You remember what the Lord said to Moses, put that pole up high enough so that anyone can see it. And as Jesus is raised up today to us, as he was put on that cross, he is for anyone, anybody. It doesn't matter where you are, what station in life. It doesn't matter what sin you have committed. His death on the cross was for you because he loves you. He died for you. It's personal. God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, to condemn it. And you see, that's where the world has it wrong. When they look at the church and they look at Christians and they look at the message of the gospel and they say, all you want to do is put people down. No, no. But you can't understand the good news until you understand the bad news. And the bad news is that just like with the serpent, you have been bitten by death. And it's not that you're going to die. You're already dead in your trespasses and sins without Jesus. Without him, you're headed for an eternity separated. Why did God send his son to the world? He says it, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but the one who does not believe has been condemned already because he does not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We couldn't do it for ourselves. It took Jesus coming to save us. I don't know where you are on this Memorial Day weekend, but as we look at the foundational memorial for all that is good and free and joyful in the earth, that foundation is at one source, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. History is organized around him. You heard the guy, Phil from Duck Dynasty, say it, A.D. His first coming, and we're looking forward to his second coming. And how do you receive this gift from Jesus? Is it something you work for? Is it something you earn? Is it something you deserve? No, no, and no. You receive a gift purchased for you by his blood. Just as we have received the gift of freedom, physical freedom in this country, purchased through the blood of those who have gone before us. They gave us that gift. But they're in good company because of what Jesus has done for us. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians, my final passage, chapter 4. Do you think, ask you a question, two questions. Do you think our country, the people in our country, understand the freedom that has been purchased for them? Do you? Do you think they appreciate it? Well, I can tell you they don't. Just read the paper. Just look around you. Do they Do you think the people in our country know the nature of the battle for freedom that's going on in the world right now? The pervasive nature of that? All the places in the world where people want to kill freedom, stamp it out. Why, they're even trying to get rid of Mahmoud over there in Iran right now. That's pretty bad when a character like that is getting forced out by the mullahs. But he is. He'll disappear one day. Because there is no freedom there. There is no freedom. The nature of the battle. But what is underneath the surface of that battle that is going on for freedom today? There's another battle that has been going on from the beginning that's all about freedom. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Even if our gospel is veiled, this good news is veiled, it is veiled to those that are perishing, in whose case the God of this world, who is that? Satan. Has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Do we see that going on? So that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You see, there's a battle going on right now. The battle for freedom that's going on right now is not just a battle fought by military. No, the basis of that battle is much larger. It's a battle of enslavement. It's a battle that the evil one is waging in the earth. And what's the antidote? What's the victory for this battle? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news. Because when the light comes on, what do the rats, the roaches, and all the vermin have to do? Pew! They go. We don't curse the darkness. We turn on. The light of Jesus. On this Memorial Day, we flip on the light of Christ. Do you have Jesus' light in you? Have you received Him as your personal Lord and Savior? I'm not asking you today if you got religion. I'm not asking you if you're a member of a church. I'm not asking you if you're a spiritual person. Lord knows we got enough spiritualism going on out there. I'm asking you, do you have the way, the truth, the life, Jesus living in you? If you don't, today you can make this the greatest memorial weekend of your life by receiving him. You know what I've shared with you today, it makes the news make sense, doesn't it? You can see it. You can see through the deceit. You can see through the lies. You can see all the stuff that the world system is putting on us and see the truth of the love of God as He unconditionally loves us. I heard Josh Byers, Captain Josh Byers, say repeatedly when he was part of our fellowship, I serve the Lord by serving this country. And I'll gladly lay my life down for the freedom that we enjoy. Let's bow our heads. We open the altar today and ask our pastors, our life group leaders, to come on, take your places now. If you'd like to come and pray, maybe you'd like to come and spend some time interceding for someone today. If you've never received Jesus, come on. We'll pray with you right now. You can ask him into your life right now. The altar's open for you to come and kneel and pray, or stand, or go and pray with one of those that's standing up here at the front or on the side. It's up to you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for making it plain. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your shed blood, Jesus, that we can look unto the one who was raised up on the cross, and we look to you for our salvation, and we are healed. We bless you, Lord. The altar's open. Just keep standing, if you will. We'd sure like to get those cards from you today. If you have an offering to bring, baskets are up here and in the back. You can do that on the way out today. Peter's standing here next to me. Have you tuned in and saw our interview on TV? Yes, three of you. Glad you tuned in. We managed, Peter didn't pick his nose or do anything disgusting on TV. So, cordial. You'll be able to tune in on WTOC each morning at Mid-Morning Live, and they're going to track Peter. It's like Peter's here, Peter's there. Peter's everywhere, all over Georgia.
I thought that ankle brace would be
the same. I wish.
And, and where are you going to end up, Peter? At St. Mary's?
Yeah, St. Mary's.
St. Mary's. And so we want to be praying for him. Peter's going to give a speech while he's gone. He's got a comedy routine he's going to do. He and I are working on this ventriloquism thing. I'm going to sit on his lap and be his dummy.
In his dreams.
So today I want us to pray for Petey. So if some of y'all will come, we're going to lay hands on him and pray for him. Pray, Lord, protect him. And I'm going to pray that the Lord is going to... And Lord, I pray that you'll put Jesus on his lips and in his heart. And Lord, as he goes, you'll protect him. And this will be a great bike ride. But Lord, that you'll use Peter's testimony about the power of God in a man's life when he yields himself to Jesus. Lord, I pray that, Lord, his bike will work properly. And Lord, I pray against the cerebral palsy in his body. Lord, that you'll make it a great week for him. Just go before him, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Petey. We love you.
Thank you.
Amen. And one more thing before I send you out. Has anybody seen Michael Bonifacio here today? Where is he? Where is he? Yeah. Joel, why don't you and Joshy make a Michael sandwich there right now? That means you got to hug him. Yeah, there we go. Thank you, Joe. There we go. All right. God bless y'all. Be careful. Be safe.